I don't want to lose. I want to win!
I need professional help.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Sports Betting Weekly, sponsored by EasySportsData.com. The books use data. Shouldn't you too? And this is Easy Sports Data, like the preschoolers use. EasySportsData.com.
I win here and I win there. Now what?
Sports Betting Weekly.
I want to win!
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
You should also check out sportsbettinglessons.com. You'll learn some old tricks because sometimes how you bet is more important than who you bet. Sportsbettinglessons.com.
Let's just do it. Let's meet this thing head on. And you were in it to win it.
Talk about an education.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Wow, winning.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Welcome to Sports Betting Weekly. I am Second Half Chaz. As always, we've got Paolo joining us. Paolo, you know what? It's starting to open up, but we still have a long way from where we were in January and February. We were having some fun winning some sports bets in January and February.
I know what you mean, but we have just had great weeks, one week after week after week. Still, we haven't had a losing week, and I look forward to continue this week, even though it's much more harder getting to find games because most of the leagues that are opening up, it's their first week. But I got some games.
Well, we talked about that. It doesn't matter whether it was that first fight for UFC or the horses out in California that were coming off of a 6-8 week layoff. You got to tread lightly in the beginning, but at least, like when we look at Flash Score this week, it used to be there were page after page after page after page. Then it went down to there was one page. Now at least there's a couple, three pages, and some of the countries are opening up. Those dictators, they never stopped. The dictators made sure soccer never stopped.
And not only that, if we really look at that dictatorship in Nicaragua, that was lucrative. I mean, that league stopped now, but that was a lucrative league with that FC Managua. I mean, we really hit some big ones there with 1 minute left, 13-1. So most of the leagues have treated us pretty good, and the Faroe Islands. But this week, I didn't see them on my betting card, the Faroe Islands.
Them either. I looked, too, because that B36 team that we've been on has been doing real well for us.
And remember when I told you about that B36 team that they're going to be winning and good odds, and so far it's been happening. The same has been happening with Batty.
Yeah.
Because this is the way to make money during coronavirus. You got to find the hot hand. That's the way.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And that really is good advice for anything. You know, baseball. There's teams that go on, 11, 12, 13 game winning streaks, and a lot of times not only so you get the win, but with Bate, you also can get the better odds. You know, we had them sometimes at minus 300, but at -1.5 goals, they were plus 103.
And not only that, they've got a couple of comeback wins in there, which put the odds up. And last time, with maybe 10 minutes, they scored two goals to go -1.5. So it's a lucrative team. It's a very, very lucrative team. So this week, we got some plays this week. Let's see. I'll start off with the Korean League. Last week when we gave the Korean League, we hit a nice one, 2.1. This week I look for Ulsan, Hyundai, Horang, odds 1.72 to roll and get the win. Denmark opening up this week. Let's see how the first week goes, but I do like FC Nordjylland to win, odds 1.65, and both teams to score in that game. Nordjylland was pretty strong before the layout. I think that they're due to come back and still be the same team. Then I like FC Midland. I think that FC Midland's going to get a pretty easy win on this one. I don't see them having any difficulties, even though their odds are pretty low. And my top play in FC Copenhagen from Denmark. FC Copenhagen is like a Bate Borisov. They're going streak. Starting off this week, we'll see how they do, but I think they're going to start off with a winner. Moving on, I like in Germany, Bayer Leverkusen, odds 1.72 to win. I like Dortmund to win, and I think that RB Leipzig, following the three games that they've played, they've drawn one draw, and I think this week, where they're going out of town, I think they're going to get the win. And again, my top play of the week, I'm still going on them, is Bate Borisov to win and over 2.5 goals. That's what I like.
That was the worst part, I think, of following soccer during the heart of the virus, is that it's really hard to do live action if you got to set your alarm for 3:30 in the morning.
And even German soccer, like German soccer is one league. I mean, me and you have been talking for a long time. And as you see, I really avoid it. I don't handicap it because from what I see, it's so unpredictable. I mean, we're talking real unpredictable. You can't get in Germany a feel for a hot team. Like even Bayern Munich could go 3-4, and then just when you think they're gonna roll, go somewhere, and all of a sudden disappoint.
Yeah.
So it's a league that you have to follow it on a weekly basis. But if you really put all the other leagues, they're more lucrative in the German league. That's what I see. That's why I don't really waste my time with it much.
Yeah, and as you said, more of them are opening up. It's about being patient. I mean, if you're a football bettor, American football, you're patient all summer because there's no football to bet on.
Exactly. I think, you know, which is going to be the great league, the Swedish league on the 14th. They're going to play with fans, so that's going to be good. And I know which team in Sweden is strong, powerful, and this team wins most of the time. All right, sometimes they'll draw or whatever, but they score goals. And then we got Italy, June 20th. I love Italian soccer. You've seen what we've hit on Italian soccer, some great comebacks, two down, scoring for Inter. So it looks like after June 20th, everything's going to really be back to normal, as normal
yeah,
as can be.
The only downside of that is how far away June 20th is.
Yeah, there's a lot. And like now, if you notice, like most of the leagues that have opened up are like small, really small leagues that there's no way that I would bet these leagues. I wouldn't. The only league that I'm going to, when things get back to normal, that I would bet, the Nicaragua and Belarus.
But look at how many of those people out there that have nothing to bet right now are betting the computer simulation games of sports.
Oh my God. I have actually seen that, and you see Ajax, and you see that, and you see I mean, people are betting that. That has become a way of betting right now and a trend.
Well, there's limited entertainment opportunities, and entertainment is going to be the very last thing that comes back because you can't social distance at the movies. You can't social distance at a sports book. You can't social distance at a concert. You just can't do it. At a theater, you can't social distance.
And the thing is that since we've been talking about this virus, you've really had some great points that you've been saying. This is a virus, like you said. It's not the flu. We don't know who has it. Some can be asymptomatic. So how could you social distance? You can't really social distance.
No, again, you have to be very, very careful, especially if you're older and you have issues like with health. You know?
And not only that, I mean, looking right now, it's destroyed flying. We can't get to the point where we have to go. It's done so much damage. And I think for this to get repaired, it's going to take a couple of years. And if, because this is a virus, I think this is a virus here to stay.
Well, you look at NHL. We talked about NHL, what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
That's a last-ditch effort just to save a little bit of season and make some money. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not traditional NHL. Look at the horse races. I mean, the Belmont isn't even going to be a mile and a half. The Belmont is going to be run before the Derby. I mean, it's just a crazy year. But it'll go down as a year we'll always remember, that's for sure.
And in your opinion, when hockey starts, do you think it's going to be like how hockey really was? I mean, they're saying now they're going to use 5-6 cities to play. How are they going to manage that with 24 teams?
Yeah, I'm going to be paying attention to it. But if you think about neutral sites, we have neutral sites in college football at the beginning of the year, right, when some teams go and play at neutral sites. The Super Bowl's a neutral site. We have some neutral site history. A neutral site without fans, that's a whole other animal.
Yeah, because if you really look at it, this is why right now horse racing is more lucrative than sports. If you really look at it, and like last week, Bayern went, and I predicted that they were going to score the goal, and all, went into Dortmund. Dortmund, if they had fans in the stands, Dortmund is one of the most difficult places for a team to go and play. But, like you said, when there's no fans, when there's nobody, it's not the same game. It's not
the
same game
fans,
to put your money on.
Soccer fans are the alpha of fans. They're the alpha fan of fans because there's no place you could be at a football game or a baseball game or a hockey game, and there's a period of quiet in the arena. Maybe it's a timeout, commercial break, whatever. In soccer, they don't stop the entire time.
No, they don't stop the entire time. And it does play on the opposition's mind. That's what it's, if you really look at the statistics, the home team wins most of the time, statistically. But now that there's no fans, we're looking at a 50-50. So if I have to put serious money on a game, what's the point? You can't. You got to hold back because you don't know.
And you look at the dimensions of a soccer pitch. If you can't hear, you've got to communicate with hand signals. And, you know, it's pretty far apart. So that gives an advantage to the visitors. If there's no fans, no doubt about it, above what they normally would have.
Because it does give the advantage because right now the visitors that are going inside, let's say that there's a big derby, but the visitors are going inside a team with no fans. So it's a 50-50. There is no advantage.
The home field advantage is definitely diminished. No ifs, ands, or buts about that.
No, I totally agree. And this is why I see a lot of my regular people that bet and all that. I've told them, I said, listen, we got to see how these things go. Just play reasonably, just relax, and let's see. Because this is a thing in process. Nobody knows what's going to happen, even with the NFL. Nobody knows what's going to happen. They're saying that they're going to reduce the Superdome down to 13,000 fans when the NFL starts for social distancing, like you said. So look at that.
Yeah, that's not going to have the same noise effect, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I think this virus has really done a lot of damage to all sports. And the horses, but the horses, who cares? If the horse is ready, the horse is going to run.
Right. And what we'll do is after break, we'll talk a little about the opportunities that the horse racing has. And I can't honestly tell you that I think they've done enough to grab market share when they were the only game in town. But that wouldn't surprise anybody that follows the horses because horse racing is in decline for a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons is the people that run horse racing. We'll be back after break. You're listening to Sports Betting Weekly.
Could this be a trap?
I always think everything could be a trap, which is why I'm still alive.
However, the amount is 50 florins.
Well, that's all we got.
Yes, and if we had 60, the bet would be 60.
That's been a mistake. Give me my money back. No.
Are you worried you won't be able to find the perfect gift for Father's Day again this year? Well, when you order a souvenir football from championshipfootballs.com, you're receiving a 100% money-back guarantee. You're also getting the coolest present they'll open that day, guaranteed. Whether that special present is for a Kansas City Chiefs fan or a member of the LSU Tigers Alumni Association, is there a better Father's Day gift for someone who's a fan? Maybe Gramps is a lifelong Notre Dame supporter. Do you know a member of the Oregon Ducks Alumni Association? Send them the coolest present they'll open that day, guaranteed. Now, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan or a Minnesota Vikings fan, well, sorry about that. Yeah, that kind of goes for those New Mexico State Aggies and Tulane Green Wave fans too. It's not nice effort, you had a pretty good season, footballs.com. No, it's championshipfootballs.com. The coolest present they'll open that day, guaranteed. championshipfootballs.com.
Are you using JoinUWager.com? When you win, your book should pay you fast, and JoinUWager.com does. It's as simple as that. Need a new book? Check out JoinUWager.com. Live action is the best way to win, and JoinJazzSports.com has the most lines. You'll have tons of team totals, first quarter parlays too. Jazz is offering things that other books won't. If you want more options to win, use Jazz Sports. JoinJazzSports.com.
Sports Betting Weekly.
You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. And you keep losing when you ought to not bet.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Welcome back to Sports Betting Weekly. I am Second Half Chaz. We've got Paolo on the line. Now, Paolo, when we talked a little bit about soccer, we were saying how we didn't really have a choice. Even though we were winning every week, we didn't have a choice who we were betting. But now with horse racing kind of made it all the way through. They had to adjust a little, but they've been running horses consistently from the beginning.
Yeah, they've been running horses, and there's like you said, the match bet, the place market. As long as you make the adjustments, it's pretty lucrative right now. I'm finding horse racing to be pretty lucrative to make money. Even though this week there's not much stake action, but one stake race caught my eye at Santa Anita, the Honeymoon. I think that Stella Star with Mandela training it and Flavian Pratt, I think this horse is going to win, hit the board. He's 2-1 right now. But I see this horse, his workouts have been good lately, and I think with Flavian on, I look for him to hit the board.
Yeah, you know, Pratt's been, it's been 2 or 3 years now, he's been the best jockey out there, no doubt about it. And there are 9 horses in the race. There are 3 favorites. There's a 5-2, Laura's Light is the 5 horse. There's a 7-2 Parkstar, and that's the 8 horse, and then your horse, the Saddler. Saddler loses the trainer?
Yeah.
2-1. But that is really, that's the only race on Saturday at Santa Anita that's of any value.
Exactly. And if you really look at it, at this race, when you're getting Flavian Pratt, he's 2-1, and you're getting the top rider. Like you said, he's been cleaning out a couple of years now at Santa Anita. I mean, he's taken over. Everybody else is just secondary. I mean, this guy's the real deal. And I think that this horse, if he hits the board, he should pay some decent money, even if he shows.
And again, we've had this conversation. It really becomes part of the sports betting lessons, how you bet versus who you bet. You can't look at a 2-1 shot and say, I don't want to waste my money on a 2-1 shot, when you will go out and you'll bet the Patriots at -120 and they're given 3 more points than they probably should.
Yeah, because lately, if you really look at horse racing, you see some favorites. Like today, I was looking at Churchill, some races, and you see some favorites coming into show and they're paying like 170, 180, 190. That's pretty good value. On a favorite.
And it doesn't have to win the race.
No. I mean, I'm going to bet this horse. If I see him, he looks good at the parade and everything. That's the only bet I'm going to put on the weekend, is that Stella Star with Flavian Pratt, because I think he's going to hit the board. And he's going to pay something.
Now, on that same day over at Churchill, now remember, we talked about Churchill when Churchill was closed and Oaklawn was open. We were talking about how many good jockeys were going to Churchill Downs.
Oh yeah. The cream of the crop. You got
they have a pick 4 starting at the 7th race. They've got every race is 100,000 or 80,000 or 80,000 or 90,000 or 100,000, and that goes all the way until the last race, which is 100,000 race. So they've got 5 races, the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. 5 races that are worth between close to $500,000. And at Santa Anita, you're getting some races are $19,000 races. So after that race that you like at Santa Anita, it really looks like Churchill is the place to be on Saturday.
Yeah, it looks like it. And if you really look at it, at Churchill right now, what you said, very, very important. I mean, the top jockeys are there. You look at John Velasquez. You look at Ortiz. You're looking at really some Santana with the Asmussen horses. I mean, you're looking at some top jockeys there, and I think the competition is fierce right now. From all the tracks, I think Churchill has the most competition.
Yeah, you're looking at both the trainers and the jockeys, but here's the one thing. We talked about this with some of the races earlier, how few horses are in them. Here, in that first race, there's 9. Then the next race, 16. When was the last time you heard 16 horses? Now, they may not all go off. But there's 16 horses listed. In the next race, there's 16 horses listed. In the next race, there's 11 horses. And the next race after that, 14 horses. And that's just, those are full fields.
Full fields. And if you look at it, the jockeys in those races, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Ortiz is going to win one of those races because he always gets the good horses. And he will hit the board. These top guys always hit the board.
Let's look at him. So let's look at him. In the first race, his horse is 12-1. Now, of course, this is the morning line, so he could go up, it could go down. But a jockey like that will usually probably get it down to 8 or 9-1. The next race, also 12-1. The race after that, let's see where he is, 8-1. And the race after that, has he got a horse? He's 6-1, and then in the very last race, he's on a horse that is 4-1. So every race, his horses go down in odds. But all of those are nice prices.
Not only that, all those are nice prices. And if you could just select one of those horses to finish even to show, you're going to pay. And with a jockey like Ortiz, this guy is capable of anything. He is a top
And you
jockey.
Remember, the place and show pools, and of course in Europe it's just the place pool. There isn't a show pool.
Exactly.
It's second or third. Whoever wins the race dictates that, because that money gets spread out. So if a big shot wins the race and another long shot runs second and your favorite runs third, he still pays more than he probably would pay.
Exactly. Is John Velasquez racing in any of these races?
Yeah, of course. He's probably on a horse in every race as well. He's definitely on the 11th. Let's see if he's at the 10th. There's a Santana Asmussen horse. I would think Velasquez has got a mount in every race. Wouldn't you think he's in that race?
Yeah, he's in every race.
Well, that's what he made. He was a big splash when they got him a few weeks back.
Well, John Velasquez on a horse. I mean, this guy's not there to look at Churchill. And look at the competition, Asmussen, Santana, Velasquez, Ortiz, just these three jockeys. I think these guys are hitting the board. These guys will hit the board. It's money in the bank. And like you said, it's going to pay.
Yeah, and then there's jockeys. When you look at the jockeys in these big fields, because they're such a big field, there's a lot of names that you know because there's so many horses.
Exactly. One thing that I've noticed, a lot of people have been following the jockey system. The jockey system has been devised in Australia. It's been devised for many years. A lot of people have been following. There was a jockey in Australia. Somebody was following Blake Shin. This guy went 72 times without winning a mount. But the problem with the jockey system is you cannot bet them blindly. You have to really look and see where he has a shot to finish in the top three. So if you're betting, like for instance, like you said, Flavien Prat, most of the time Flavien Prat is in the money. So you're going to make money as long as you bet them where they have a good horse, the trainer, and you look at the jockey angle. This is the most important thing. Because these guys, when they get on a horse, most of the time they're there to win and to hit the board.
Yeah, when you look at jockey standings, they show you mostly the win percentage. But if you look at the top three percentage, some of these guys it's 60%.
Correct. You're right on the ball. So when you got a guy hitting, remember the days when Rafael Bejarano was the top guy at Santa Anita? This guy was sick. This guy was money in the bank. Look at Victor Espinosa, 60-65%. Right now, at Santa Anita, the top guy is Flavien Prat. Flavien Prat's in the money 60% of the time. You look at Churchill. Churchill, I think Santana, because of the local connections with Asmussen, I think he might be getting better mounts than the other two. But then you look when Belmont can open up. The Ortiz brothers, the John Velasquez and all that. These guys are 50-60% in the money. So it's the top guys always hitting the board. And like you said, 60%, that's a pretty good average.
Yeah, it really is. But again, you got to be willing to understand how that place market works. And the fact that compare it to betting on a Kershaw, Clayton Kershaw, and pitching and minus 375. If you look at soccer, you look at a big baseball favorite, that's when you see, or in basketball on the money line when there's no point, where you're playing Golden State and they're minus 400 or minus 450. Yeah. That's really what you've got to compare it to, because a horse that pays $3 to show is a 50% return on your money.
And that's the thing why I like about England, that they have the like you said, the place market show pools when there's eight. When there's seven, it's first and second.
Right.
Because you're most of the time, you're getting 1.4, 1.5. So if I can get 1.4, 1.5, I'm doubling my money on every bet. And that's what people don't understand. You cannot be looking at the odds. If something is good and you think it's going to win, bet it. Most of the time, if you're correct, you're going to make money. And that's how I do it.
No doubt about it. All right, my man, anything else you want to add before we go?
No, I think we've covered it all.
I'll get the racing form Friday. I'll do my homework. I'll put some I had a real nice run. Where was it? Was it Oakland? I think with Oakland. I hit like six or seven races in a row. I was getting beat out of big races, big payoffs, though, by a third or a fourth, because I go for supers and trifectas. There's nothing better than watching the first four horses go across the finish line. They're so far apart that you can read their numbers, and you've got all four of them, and it doesn't matter what order they come in. And hopefully on Saturday, I'll give out a couple of those.
And you've been hitting, like, since we started, you've really become really good at soccer. I mean, you know your stuff now.
I'm very excited about Italy and Mexico and the Premier League opening up again. It'll make for a fun summer. There's no doubt about it.
Have you heard of when Mexico might open up?
No, I saw something on there. I know Italy's going to come first, though, right?
Yeah, Italy on the 20th, June 20th.
So that'll compared to Belarus, that'll be good.
Yeah, definitely agree with you.
All right, man, we'll talk to you next time. SportsBettingLessons.com. You can enter your name, your email. We'll get you some great free information. I tell people the free information isn't free if it makes you money. And that's what it's all about, Paolo. All right, we'll talk to you next time. You've been listening to Sports Betting Weekly.